Thank you. spring term before summer, so I hope you enjoy the songs tonight, but as well that you would use it as an opportunity of worship. That's part of training them to be church musicians, is worship, worshipful music. So thank you again for being here.
Thank you. evening. Welcome to Stanley Heights Baptist Church. That was hymn number 477. Stand up for Jesus. Let's stand together and sing stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every bow is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict in this is glorious day. He that a man now serve him against a numbered foe, let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next a victor song. To him who overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Welcome to Stanley Heights once again. We're so glad you're with us. If this is your first time with us, would you indicate that by raising your hand? We'd love to have a record of your visit. Our men have a packet they want to give to you as they pass by there. We'd love to have your record of your visit. We're going to say the scripture tonight that we said this morning, Matthew 5, 43 and 44, talking about a disciple's love. Let's raise our voices and say the passage together. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thine enemy and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. A good reminder in the spiritual warfare that we're in, that our enemies are not people. Our enemies are the forces of evil that are behind, that are motivating. But God has given us the opportunity to reach out in love and to show the love of Jesus Christ. As far as announcements go, many of those were covered this morning. Just want to acknowledge a few things. What a blessing those young people just a moment ago in church musicians in training, and thankful for Mrs. Mims and her work with them. Also wanted to recognize Dr. Thomas, who's with us tonight and able to be here for this. Put many years and got our Fine Arts Academy off the ground and taught many of these students. So I want to say a word of thank you to him as well. Other guests with us here tonight, we have a number of folks here for Camp Bimmy. So glad to have you all, praying for a good week for you all. A couple of our missionaries here, Brother Tim Leonard, who's not normally with us, and then Brother Robert Fuller, also with us. You'll want to make sure you take an opportunity to greet them. And while we're talking about who's here and not here, of course, our pastor and his wife are gone, and pray for a safe return for them as they come back from a wedding in South Carolina, and looking forward to what God has for us over the next week as we invite people to be with us for our July 3rd Celebrate Freedom service. Pray for our young people. We'll be leaving tomorrow morning on the bus to go to camp. So pray for a good week, a week of spiritual impact. And we'll pray for the things that God has here. Let's pray, and we will go forward with our service this evening. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your love and care for us. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. Lord, we thank you that our hope is not found in men. And men are not our enemies. But we know that there are forces of spiritual darkness, of wickedness in this world that are fighting against you and your truth. Lord, help us to be faithful to you in these days. And as we stand for truth, may it be in a way where the offense is of the truth and not of our own manner, of our own spitefulness, but that, Lord, we would shine the love of Christ, that as we lift up Jesus, that men and women, boys and girls would be drawn to him. Lord, we think of many requests on our heart, needs in our church family, needs in our country, needs in our own spiritual lives. Lord, we thank you that you are capable of meeting every one of these needs. We ask that you would give us effectiveness in these dark days, that we would shine brightly as a light for Jesus Christ. Lord, use your word to speak to our hearts tonight, and may you receive all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Continue our worship together. Hymn number 206, There is a Redeemer. Hymn number 206, There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son.
Singing 511, Now I Belong to Jesus. Sing together, Now I Belong to Jesus.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom the soul. Now I belong to Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time, my soul for
That should be the response to people around the world in response to the gospel message. Now I belong to Jesus. Not for years alone, but for eternity. And that's why we believe it's the right thing to do to sponsor missionaries, to send missionaries around the world. And today we're looking at two of those missionaries that our church has supported, Ed and Jan Alexander in Brazil. And they have some prayer requests. Ed's continuing recovery from his surgery and any treatment going forward. Also pray that students will be a blessing to their home churches on their one-month break. Music conference. They're having a music conference on July 6th to the 9th. But they also have some praises. Ed is recovering from prostate cancer. The master's module went well. And after 2 years of work, they were able to sign paperwork for the sale of some property. And we give praises for that. Also pray for them. Andrew and Alina Au in Hong Kong have praises. They're able to have church in person again. And Liberty Baptist Church, their church, celebrates its 14th year anniversary with new visitors and 4 people trusting Christ as Savior. Also, they have some prayer requests, wisdom as they navigate the many COVID restrictions that are still in place. We mentioned some of those this morning, having to prove they are well every time they go into a building practically. And that can be very, very taxing and very discouraging. Pray also for this lady, Grandma Tija, who, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, is 90 years old, unable to attend church because she can't prove with her cell phone that she has passed the COVID tests. And what a sad thing. Not being able to go home, go to her church and worship with fellow believers, and not really understanding why she can't do it. So let's pray for this ministry in Hong Kong and pray for this ministry in Brazil. Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship. Father, thank you for the opportunity to send missionaries around the world. Thank you for that they are willing to go and spread the gospel so that others can say, now I belong to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Bless us this evening with the message. Bless your tithes and offerings that people are giving in. And bless them and increase them, Father, and strengthen our believers here and strengthen believers around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle, for that reminder of God's amazing grace. It's what brings us to salvation, and it is grace that will lead us home through all of eternity. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 17. I may need to give you a little extra time. You know, if you say Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, people can find that. But Jeremiah might take a little extra moment. Jeremiah and chapter 17. Now, I saw our brother Robert down here before the service, and he asked me if I was preaching, and I told him a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see if I can keep my promise of a little bit. I asked Pastor, you know, do you want me to preach in the morning and the evening? He said, yes. And I said, well, how's that going to go? What do you want me to do? And he said, well, just keep it short and, you know, say what you need to say and then be done. So he must know something about me. I don't know. It's like my reputation has preceded me. Although I was proud of myself. This morning, I think, was the shortest I've ever preached in a morning service at Stanley Heights. I even preached shorter than the one time that I got up here and I left half my notes. I still managed to preach longer than I did this morning. So y'all are, I'm learning, hopefully, I'm coming along. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verses 5 through 10. I'm going to address tonight a subject that seems very basic. We're going to talk about trust. Look at the question, who do you trust? You say, Pastor Ed, you only seem to deliver very basic, obvious messages. This morning you talked about contentment. Tonight you're talking about trusting. Well, maybe that's just where I am. Maybe those are the things that God keeps pointing out to me again and again. I don't know if you are at where I am, but I find that again and again, the simplest truths seem to be the ones that I find myself struggling the most. It's not that I don't know what to do, it's just doing what I know to do. And so God again and again brings these basic building blocks of Christianity and challenges my heart. Maybe that's true for you tonight as well, that as we go through life, finding the need again and again at every stage to learn to trust God. And as we come to Jeremiah chapter 17, we're in a very dark time in Israel's history. Israel has already been carried off. Judah is remaining in the time of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is bringing basically messages of judgment to Judah. And the message of these prophets is becoming more and more relevant in today's world. As we see the world around us growing darker, and as we see the world headed more and more towards judgment, the message of these prophets is something that we can relate to more and more. Here at the beginning of chapter 17, we find Judah's sins listed. And they may not be the specific sins that we see in our lives today, but we know that certainly we live in such a day as Jeremiah lived, where men's hearts are farther and farther from God's truth and from His Word. And good is called evil, and evil is called good. And just to stand for what's right and true is a very controversial thing. And Jeremiah was very controversial in his day for proclaiming what was true. So as we come to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 10, I'll read it. We'll look at God's Word tonight. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Let's pray and ask for God's help tonight. Father, take your word, use it in my heart and in our hearts, Lord, that we be challenged in our trust, that we would analyze, that we would evaluate whom are we trusting. Speak to us tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We come here and we see the quandary that Judah was in. Who were they going to trust in? Who was dependable? These people had every opportunity to trust God. They had the law. They had the prophets. They had seen mighty works done by God. They had the sacrificial system. They had access to God. They had kings that were set up and taken down by God. God's special people, every opportunity to trust God, and yet they failed to do so. They knew what God wanted from them, but they did not have the heart to do it. They had to decide whether trusting and obeying God was worth it. When I think of Christians today, I think there are some parallels. We live in a wicked day where trusting God is going to be maybe more difficult than it was 50 or 100 years ago. When following God's word maybe will have a little bit less of a guaranteed outcome than it might have at a different time. And we have to trust our God. We have to decide if He is indeed worth trusting, worth following. So I present tonight two ways to live: the self-dependent life or the God-dependent life. I present to you, first of all, the self-dependent life. And I would submit to you, the self-dependent life is not worth living. The self-dependent life we find in verses 5, 6, and 9. And self is not dependable. It does not sustain. It cannot last. It can last short term, but in long term, depending on self is an empty promise. Under this point of the self-dependent life, I would say, first of all, don't trust in man. He isn't worth depending on. Don't trust in man. He isn't worth leaning on. If you trust in man, then you aren't trusting in God, and your heart is departing from Him. This morning we touched on the fact you cannot serve God and mammon. I would submit to you tonight that you cannot trust God and man. Now, we can look to men in some capacity, men that God puts up over us, but ultimately our trust needs to be in God and God Himself. Verse 5 says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. The best of men will fail. The best among us is nothing but flesh and blood. And if you trust in God, you're trusting in one who will not fail. So first of all, don't trust in man. He's not worth you're depending on. Secondly, don't trust in political figures. They aren't strong enough. Don't trust in political figures. They're not strong enough. That second expression there, that maketh flesh his arm. It's not something, it's not a phrase we would really use today. But the idea here is to look to something for a stronghold, to look to something that's strong enough to protect us. If you've ever seen, these have become quite popular in recent years. You'll have somebody, maybe a CEO of a company that makes bulletproof glass. I saw one of these little short videos the other day. The CEO of a bulletproof glass company, he gets into a vehicle that has his bulletproof glass installed. And he sits behind the wheel, and they get somebody there with an automatic rifle and takes like 15, 20 shots at that windshield. And you see it all making pock marks on the windshield, but none of them make it through. None of the shots can penetrate. Or maybe you've seen the CEO of a body armor company, and they're putting on their bulletproof vest, and the CEO will take a shot from close range just to show, look, see, I'm protected. I'm safe. Nothing can harm me. I'm protected. This is the idea of making flesh your arm. What do you look to say, this can keep me safe? This is going to be able to protect me. I can trust in this. And for Judah at this time, they were putting their trust in political alliances. You see, the Babylonians were going to eventually overrun and take them away. And they're looking at Babylon and they're thinking, how do we get out of this one? We're just a tiny country. We were tiny when we were Israel together. But now we're just Judah. How can we possibly stand against such a massive foe? And so in their human wisdom, they said, we know, we'll make alliances with Egypt. Because as we all know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So if I can find somebody that also hates Babylon, and I can line up with them, then I'll be good. And so Judah was looking to Egypt, to Assyria, to other nations around to say, maybe they can bail us out. Humanly speaking, not the worst strategy. But the problem is that it left God out. They were looking to political figures, they were looking to political alliances to come to their rescue. Can that be possible today? If we could only get the right people in office, if we could only get the right legislation passed, and praise God for it, for every political leader, for every piece of God-honoring legislation that's passed. This week, as many of you know, there was quite the victory, as we would consider it, from a standpoint of honoring life and seeing things God's way. But is our hope really in politicians? If you've lived long enough, you know to say no. They may be with you today and against you tomorrow. And the winds of political change are constantly on the move. Those who have common cause with us can be tempting to put our trust in. But is flesh your arm? Is that the thing you look to protect you from the evils of this world around you? Judah was caused to depart from trusting in the Lord by trusting in political alliances. Anything that takes away your trust is taking God's place. Anything other than God Himself and God alone is a misdirection. So don't trust in political figures. Thirdly, I submit to you this evening, don't trust your heart. Verse 5 there says, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Our heart is unstable. Jump down to verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, sorry to ruin this for you, but the little movie catchphrase, you know, follow your heart, that's not biblical, okay? Our culture has very much bought into this to say, just find what you want. What is your dream? What is your desire? Self-actualize. Get to the point where you are happy. Follow your heart. Be true to yourself and who you are. And God says, no, your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Verse 5 tells us our hearts depart from the Lord. One of the songs we'll sing here often says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And then we make the prayer, here's my heart. Lord, take and seal it. God, I can't trust myself. We should know that we can't rely on our hearts, and yet we often do. We trust what we feel and not what we know. Proverbs 12:14 says to us, there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
You see, our gauge, our indicator is broken. Our little sensor light may be on green and saying, yes, everything is great. But on the inside, we're being deceived. We're believing a lie. We're going astray. We're buying what the world says and not what God says. We are unfortunately incredibly good at deceiving ourselves. We are our own worst enemies because we don't tell ourselves the truth. How many of you have over your lifetime been around someone that doesn't necessarily always tell the truth? And over time, what ends up happening is you don't look to that person anymore, right? You don't see them as reliable. You kind of distance yourself from them because who wants a friend who's a liar? And yet, we are our own worst friend, if we can say it that way. We constantly feed ourselves things that are not true. Our emotions are not dependable. Our heart is desperately wicked. And we cannot trust ourselves to defeat this problem on our own. We need an objective source of truth. We need truth being spoken into our lives that is not passed through our filter. Verse 9 is an honest look at the condition of our hearts. Thankfully, God loves us in spite of how wicked we are. Every part of us is affected, and so we cannot be trusted. And yet God doesn't turn away. He offers us the opportunity to be rooted in Him. And we'll look at that in a moment. But look at verse 6. Look at the picture that the prophet, under inspiration, puts out for us. Look at verse 6. For he shall be, this is the one who trusts in man, he shall be like the heath or shrub in the desert, and shall not see good when it cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land, and not inhabited. How many of you have ever been to a desert like what's being described here? A true wilderness. Maybe if you've lived out west, maybe if you've seen in the Holy Land, maybe if you've seen maybe other parts of the world with deserts. I've had the opportunity to drive through and to be near places like that. I haven't stayed very long for some reason. There just wasn't anything there to hold me in the desert, in the wilderness. But if you've been around sandy desert places, you know what it's like to see the scrub brush that's there. Little tiny, weak, dried out, little nothing plants. I had a picture I was going to put up and I forgot to send it to the men, but you can probably picture it in your mind. A shrub that's just barely holding on. You're like, how does that even make it? It's like a glorified weed, right? That's just barely there. I was talking recently to some of our folks who've been to Texas and talking about tumbleweeds. And if you've ever seen a tumbleweed, that's kind of the idea of what's happening. You have these things that grow up, and then eventually they're going to dry up, and they're going to break loose, and they're going to be unmoored. Their roots are very weak. They're not permanent. They don't have a consistent water supply. So you get the seasonal rains, right? The seasonal rains come through the desert or the wilderness, and things bloom up, blossom up, and then what happens after a time? When you get to the dry season, they dry out. Some die. Some just kind of barely hang on. God says that's the person who trusts in man. Just barely hanging on. Don't be a shrub. You'll be like a weak desert shrub, useless and worthwhile, missing out on the good things, living in a parched place. You know what the tragedy of this shrub in a parched place is? That's all it's ever going to know. In contrast, think of how we're supposed to be when we are in a dry and thirsty land. Psalm 63 and verse 1. Many of you know. Talks about how my soul, my heart, longs after you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That's to be our heart after God. When we find ourselves in a dry and thirsty place to say, God, I need you to satisfy me. But the shrub that's being described here will never see good when it comes. We'll never know what it could be. Don't be one of these worthless shrubs with no anchor, no lasting fruit, no stability, going wherever the wind takes you. Don't be a shrub. Instead, we want to see, be a tree. Look at the contrast down in verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Do you want to be a shrub? Then place your trust in man. Do you want to be a tree? Then place your trust in God. A tree is one that grows strong and tall, has a good root system. We know that a tree has to have water. Where do you find big, strong, healthy-looking trees? You have to find them in a place where they can access water. You don't find them out in the desert, out in the wilderness where there is no water. What's the comparison here? Water is found in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. To know Him is to know life. Without Him, we are dry. Without Him, we will be barren and unfruitful. But the tree doesn't fear in the difficult times, when heat comes, when the drought comes. Several places in our country and even across our world are experiencing this now. Water shortages. Where my sister is in Mexico, and then even across different parts of the Western United States, they're experiencing this lack of water, and it's truly a scary thing. Think of what it's like in a time of drought, not to be afraid of lacking water, because your water supply is guaranteed. Bible says this tree, metaphor for a person, doesn't have to fear when difficult time comes. It has roots that stretch deep, that reach the water. It doesn't have to depend on the occasional passing rain. This is a tree that is substantial, that is grounded, that is stable. And I ask you and I ask myself tonight, how is our relationship with God? Can it weather the storm? It's easy when things are good, right? When the rains come, when everything is watered, when everything is green and looking good. But what about when the dry season comes? What about when you're not sure the next time you're going to get what you thought you needed? So this is the God-dependent life. The difference between these two is where they draw their strength. What are they depending on? One depends on man, the other depends on God. The difficult time will come. The shrub is going to face the dry time. The tree is going to face the dry time. But only one can weather that storm. And if you place your trust in God, you'll be blessed. You'll be like the well-rooted, well-watered tree. This will lead to endurance, to stability. Conversely, if you find yourself in the midst of a difficult time, and you find yourself drying up, you might need to go back and examine, what is my relationship with God? To borrow another metaphor from John 15, am I abiding in the vine? Am I connected to the source of life, the one who gives me the ability to bear fruit? So place your trust in God, and be blessed. Secondly, place your trust in God to do right, to be the just judge. Can you trust God to do right? Look at verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God searches our heart, and then that other phrase there, the reins, that means our innermost parts, our innermost secrets. And He's going to be the judge that's going to make everything right. You ever feel that life isn't fair? There's somebody over there that should look like a shrub, but instead they look like a tree. They're not trusting in God, and yet their leaf is flourishing. They're seeming to do well, even when everyone else is going through difficulty. They're not getting chopped down. God, that's not fair. God, I've done right. I've trusted You. I've left all to follow after You. And look what I'm getting. God, it's not fair. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We're challenged here. Who do you trust? Do you trust your own evaluation? Do you trust your timing and your sense of judgment and justice? He says, I, the Lord, search the heart, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Was Judah being treated fairly by God? Yes or no? Some would say yes. Some would say no. Did they deserve to be judged? Yes. Yes, they did. And yet, what was God doing? He was in His mercy, allowing chance after chance after chance. And sometimes we look from the outside at somebody else who hasn't gotten God's judgment yet, and we think, God, it's not fair. You haven't been true to Your word. They're not getting what they deserve. And God says, I'm going to make it right. Don't count the Lord's long-suffering, His patience, don't count it as slackness, that He's not going to do what He said. Understand that He is patient. He is long-suffering to us. He gives us chance after chance after chance. Realize that God is going to make things right. Even though we can't trust our hearts, we can trust God. He is merciful, long-suffering, giving plenty of opportunities to turn, to repent. Will we look to the correct source for life? We can choose to trust in human strength and be cursed. We can turn to God and trust in His strength and know blessing. Those who do will be protected and preserved, even though they go through difficult times. They can continue to bear fruit, even in drought, because their strength is not found in passing rain. They have roots that run deep. If we call out to anyone else, if we look to anyone or anything else for deliverance, we'll be let down. We'll be disappointed. We'll find that man will fail us again and again. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Who do you listen to? What do you base your decisions on? Who influences your thinking? Could you say tonight that you trust man? Could you say tonight that you trust in God? Let's stand and we'll be closed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for speaking to our hearts. We thank You that we can trust in You, Lord, that You have provided for us life. You provide for us abundance. You provide for us the source of continued strength, even when all around us is difficult. We pray that as the dry spells, as the seasons of difficulty come in life, that we continue to lean on You, to know Your blessing. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Have a blessed week. Good night.